Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode. We are now delighted to introduce our new sponsor, Orga Retro. Go retro with orgaretro.com, specialists in county retro style clothing.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View podcast, episode number 102. It's champion, it's Munster Championship Eve here in Tipperary as we await the trip to Cusack Park now on Sunday. Stephen, I'm going to go straight to you for your thoughts now. It's a massive, massive game. Tipperary had a disastrous championship last year. It definitely can't get any worse. The vibes are definitely optimistic from the camp. We're talking, you know, there's good strength and depth, I think, at the Tipperary team there. There's lots to talk about. Are you optimistic for Sunday?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic for Sunday. And look, I know I'm always kind of glass half full when I talk about Tipperary, but watching them in the league, watching the progression, you know, the fitness levels, the hurling, the execution of the game plan, the puck out, both keepers were excellent during the league with the puck outs, you know, and then after the puck out, the next man knew what he was doing. You know, the whole team knew what was going on. And then, look, I know the last 10 minutes of the league, of the last game wasn't pretty, but, you know, we hurled excellent for a long, long time. And I think, I believe we're going to bury the demons of last year now in the first round of the championship. And I'll touch on it by saying, if we don't, I think it's an unbelievable disaster. But I really believe that we're going to go down to Ennis and come away with the win, and, you know, set us up rightly for the rest of the Munster Championship. And last year then is done, it's finished.
Yeah, Colm, I suppose there's so much happening this week in the GA. I suppose we touch on later with Fergal Horgan retiring, and, you know, there's Connacht semi-finals, Leinster Championship kicking off, Munster Championship kicking off. But this is surely like the key game of the weekend. Munster so cutthroat. Now, Tip and Clare have been both eyeing this up for weeks, if not months, you know?
Yeah, definitely, Kevin. And I suppose to go back to your question, where are we this evening? I suppose we saw enough in the league to think that we're competitive again now with the rest. Okay, that's the first thing I'd say, kind of echoing what Stephen said. We're still a bit back from Limerick. We've talked about that before. There's no point in talking about that this evening. Coming from where we were last year, I mean, I've laxed on lyrically about last year several times in this podcast. And as I said, I'm a bit scarred by last year. So we seem to have come a good bit since last year anyway. So in the build-up to this game, I'm like the way I usually am before a championship game, I sort of one minute I'm wildly optimistic and thinking, yeah, we're going to go down there and, you know, we're going to win. We're in an awful better place than we were last year. And then there's a nagging doubts in my mind about, you know, just how far back we've gone, really. I mean, like I was reading today about the game we lost in 86 in Ennis. I was actually down at that game. I don't say I remember it, but I can remember the grassy bank down there that day. And it's probably the one GA field in the country that hasn't improved one bit in 36 or 37 years, you know. And
probably still there.
Yeah, it's probably still there. It is. But so, like, where we're coming from last year, like, we have, like, Clare beat us by 8 points last year, Kevin. Like, and it felt like a lot more than 8 points. So I take this very simply. We're starting -8 on Sunday in one sense. We've 8 points to make up on last year to go and win the game. Okay. As I said, I've seen enough in the league to think that we're definitely in a better place than we were last year. I don't think any of us can disagree on that. I'm also heartened by the fact that, you know, we were talking about it off air there for a minute. We're fairly sure of our team, or we're sure of 13 or 14 of the spots. So I think that's good. I think that's another, I suppose, box ticked in the positive side of it, that we're getting near a settled team and there seems to be competition for places. As Stephen has said, like, you know, this kind of defines our year. If we can go down there and win, you know, it's, you know, you're in a different place on Monday morning than, you know, than you will be if you go and lose. Because if you go and lose, you're right up against it. You're going down to Cork the next day. Then you've Limerick. Like, Jesus, you don't want to be having to win one of those two games. So I'm cautiously optimistic about Sunday, Kevin. That's what I'd say.
And Sean, like, you know, I suppose last year, like, we were beaten by Clare before we were shell-shocked. Did a couple of goals got on us. They definitely 3 goals got in the first half. I think they might even got 4. We were a shambles. Our pockets were turned over. So we looked like a complete lack of energy. John McGrath got a horrific injury. You know, it's hard to believe it. Oh, a lot has happened in a year. Are we maybe the South Tip contingent being very naive in our optimism now? Is there a bit, going to be a bit of tireless realism coming in here about our chances Sunday, or is it just a real 50-50 game?
We're in a better place than we are last year anyway, I think, as I'm now from Cork and around. Like, it's more positive than negative, and that's all I want, just positivity. Last year, it was just, everyone was giving out. We didn't know what we're expecting. We're expecting the worst. This year, like, no one has actually given us a chance going on with Clare. I've seen a lot of previews there in the week. Like, a lot of players aren't even tipping us out of Munster. So, like, I don't know, there, where does that throw us back again? Like, which is the issue there and that. But we are more positive. Feeling from the camp is good. Like, you see it from the league. We had a good campaign to be fair. We tried, lads. We found new players, so to speak. You know, like, the Tyne, O'Connor, needs that stood up. And should be hopefully starting there come Sunday. But I have to go down positive. And this is, I think this is a knockout game, no matter what you say. Oh, like, oh. If we lose,
it's the closest
this,
thing to it, isn't it?
We are not, back on the back.
It's 3 from 4.
Yeah. Only won, what, 4 round-robin games out of 12 in the last 3 round-robin series. So, like, in terms of our stats in this, we're not actually winning these games.
You could say I saw a league table of the composite league table of all Munster League, you know, round-robin matches. And Clare actually sit on the top. They've won more points than Limerick. So you could say we're playing the specialists.
Yeah, exactly. So, Clare want a good start as well. Everyone's targeting these home games in this round robin, like. But yet, this is a game that we can target, I think, there on that. And, like, if we get turned over easy on Sunday, I don't know where we're back to then. Like, you know, it's hard to re-rally the troops. Like, but then could he throw in 3 or 4 different lads the following week? It's going to be tricky. But this week, hopefully, our players can get bedded in.
I know we do have 2 away games to start off this year, but I think last year Clare had their feet up watching us play Waterford on Easter Sunday, I think it was. And, you know, probably, like, you know, go close. But, you know, I think that is a big was a big advantage to them in hindsight. Now it's a lot more level. But, lads, I know that Liam Cahill will be listening intently for this, but I suppose I picked a team here now, 15. I don't know if all these players are injured or away or whatever, but just see what you think and come in. We'll have a blast at it there now. As you said, we found a lot of players during the league. Hogan in goal, as aging out Reece Shelley.
I see Barry Hogan, I presume. Kevin.
Barry Hogan, sorry, yeah. Brian is the heart palpitations.
And that's nothing against Reece. Like, it's just Hogan probably a bit more consistent. But, like, Reece is young, he's there. Like, you know, like, experience is no problem there.
Yeah, and again, Breen, Mickey Breen, fullback, Johnny Ryan, and Kyle Barrett. I think, you know, that again, he's probably hung his hat on Breen at fullback. in the league campaign. I can't see him changing now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That would be my fullback line.
This is going to be a quick podcast, lads. All agreement, maybe.
Way to get the corner forward, jeez.
Yeah, well, this is where the fun will start. And maybe, look, that's a sign there might not be that much competition in the back line. I'm not sure if Owen Connolly's injured or not, but I've gone for Dan Mack, O'Mara and Ronan wingback, and I have a big note beside him, not allowed to shoot under any circumstances.
I'd agree with the half back line, but I disagree with the last bit. I think Ronan particularly, he has to find a way to find the shooting boots, and you know, I'd let him have one or two. I wouldn't be completely ruling out the old shots, because if he can find that range again, he used to be great at it. If he can find that range again, hopefully the confidence comes flying back and could be a serious weapon going forward.
Yeah, maybe I'm being harsh, but then he blasts the first one wide.
Actually, that means for me as well,
that James Kennedy's in the forwards.
I'll disagree with you slightly, Kevin, on the halfbacks. I'm going to go with, I'd have Brian McGrath in the halfback line. I'd have Brian McGrath, O'Mara and Ronan there. Now, I'm worried about pace there, but I'm worried whether it's Brian McGrath that's there or it's Dan McCormack that's there. I don't think there's a huge plus one way or the other. I'm a big Dan McCormack fan. I always like him. He's a really honest hurler. He's had some great days in the jersey. I just don't see him as a wing back. I haven't been impressed when I'm seeing him wing back. I think Brian McGrath has always been a big player for Liam Cahill. I was talking about this with somebody during the week. McGrath has always been sort of a linchpin of a Cahill team. So I have a feeling that Brian McGrath might start there. I didn't see the game in Carrick. I know Stephen was down there. I don't know how Brian McGrath went in that game, but just have a feeling he might start there. And personally, I'd go with him there. I wouldn't play Dan McCormack there.
You could well be right. He does fit in the mold of a Liam Cahill player. He's definitely
on that side. Like, you know, you mentioned James Kendry. Like, I presume Kendry be kind of wing forward in front of Dan covering that flank. Because they're going to a lot of movement here, so it's hard to kind of say that's their half back. Like, Dan's going to go play on the field. Kendry, I presume, will be coming back as well. Like, O'Mara will be six. Like, he'll stand there. Like, you know, Ronan will do what Ronan does. Like,
will Kennedy not mark Tony Kelly, do you think, Sean?
That's what I mean, but he'd be coming up and down the field with Kelly, so he'd be Kelly could be on there, like, you know, he'd be kind of going around, but like he might give a bit of cover to that side in the pockets with Dan as well, mainly, you know. That's what I'm saying, thinking out loud in it.
Yeah, then I've Connor Stakelam and Alan Tyne and probably defined the league in midfield. For me, he's earned his position. And Connor, I know there was talk in our last podcast about best position, maybe wing forward. I think going again on championship last year, he has earned his position there in midfield, and he could be a right player for Tip over the next few years. Hopefully he'll get a chance.
And like, I'll, that's the engine that there. And like in Ennis, like this, where like if they can cover ground, and they can, we've seen it like with Tyne and Connor, like that's where a lot could come from. Like, you know, just covering ground, getting on the ball, laying it off, working, like that's like what I want to see from middle of the park there. Ennis. Like.
Yeah.
And then we'll go Seamus at 10, Noel at 11, and Garrod O'Connor at 12. Would be maybe a contentious selection.
My half forward lane now.
And again, Noel, this is where the fun starts. I've forward at full, Jake Morris corner, and I've gone for Connor Ball. One of Sean Ryan, Keo, and John Mack, and I think all could feature.
And Bonner, not even thinking Bonner might.
No, that's my research. Yeah, so no, Bonner wasn't in my thinking.
The top three, the front three there is going to take, there'll be wicked debate on it. I think we could pick any number of combinations there. Like, it's going to be, like, if you go with Bonner, let's say, Jake probably gets a start. You know, he's a goal scorer, but there's Bonner in around the area to do that little bit of work that, you know, it wouldn't be Jake's forte. But every time Bo has been introduced, and again in Carrick, he was excellent. Big, strong man, quick. He can take a goal. You know, he's hopefully in training, he's given the management big, big headache. And John McGrath looks to be starting to pour again, getting fully fit again. Tis to have you giddy this week now, and you're waiting for the team to come out, and I haven't been this giddy now about tip team announcement in a long time. And, you know, I don't think whoever's left off, I don't think we're going to be too disappointed, like as in us, the fans, because the three that are going to be picked are going to be very strong anyway. And to have options off the benches is going to be fantastic.
Yeah, maybe I am being harsh on Bonner, but it's always...
I feel Bonner might, just for like what he showed at Dan Torres and kind of since as well. Like, just, you want someone that will go inside. But I don't know. I feel Bonner would be Donner Drake Ford for forward line.
We're missing our Clare correspondent, Enda, tonight to give a real insight into the Clare team. But they've said that obviously they're missing David Fitzgerald, who would be a big loss in their own engine room there. But you'd probably line up with John Conlon, number six. Aidan McCarthy's had a great league. Look, you know, banging in the goals for him. Peter Duggan, like. They'll have players that'll, obviously the aforementioned Tony Kelly as well, they'll have players that'll need a bit of minding.
Duggan always seems to play well against Tip as well, Kevin, if you go back through the years. You know, he just seems to be a guy that, when I think of Tip player games in the last few years, he seems to be a guy who's come into my head as doing particularly well. I'd agree with your half-forward line, Kennedy, Noel O'Connor, for what it's worth, and I'm going to go with John McGrath, Ford and Jake Morris inside. I'm going for John McGrath. Just a memory of mine from 2019 is John had a right good game down in Ennis. I don't know if you remember in the game we went down there and won. John had a right good game. He got a couple of great scores over in front of the covered stand there, that shed that they'd be balling out of. He's got a couple of great scores over there. So I'll go with John. I take Sean's point very much about Bonner Maher as well. I just wonder, would Bonner be the type of guy that you'd bring in with 15 or 20 minutes to go? You know, that he'd be full of energy and full of running and full of hassle and full of hurry. You know, I know you can't pick a guy just on one game, but I was a bit disappointed with him against Limerick. I thought he struggled really. Conor Bowe, as Stevie said there, you know, played very well down in Carrick. And I actually thought he played very well against Waterford last year before he got injured, if you remember.
Broke his finger, didn't he?
He did, yeah. That's right, Sean, over under a puck out, I think. I think Bowe, very close to me. I'd probably rather be bringing in Bowe than bringing in Jake Morris for some reason. I'd go at the start for Jake and see how he's going. If he's not going well, I'll take him out. As you said, look, Clare, they're going to miss... They're going to miss McInerney, the guy who's suspended. I think he would have caused Ronan and our halfback line a bit of trouble. One thing about Clare, just again, the type of game that they play. Last year they really caught us running from deep, didn't they? You know, they attacked from deep almost on the counter attack, and like during the league again, there was a few times where I thought we looked a little bit open, a little bit susceptible. That's not even a word, but you know what I'm getting at. To a team running hard at us, and you know, maybe Ennis isn't the easiest place to be running at a team, but we'd just have that slight concern about our backs. I don't know what Sean and Stephen think about that. That if they were, you know, if they were exposed a little bit, that pace isn't really there.
That's where we hope and Connor and Tyne and them lads are kind of working back as well, getting the overlaps on that. I know what you mean. They are saying if ball drops for Dan, he gets caught in the turn. They're facing into maybe a barrier for, you know, kind of, what do you think of that? But I think the lads were dropping back and they're kind of more man-mark and dropping the puck outs there that way as well, I think, innit?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Man-mark on the puck outs and force them long to stop the runner from deep. But, like Waterford showed in the league, and look, every club, county, no back likes a person running at them. But it takes an awful lot of energy to constantly be running at a team. You know, like if that's going to be a game, we see with Wexford a couple of years ago, they blew up with 15, 20 minutes to go. Waterford did the same before they had the man sent off there in the league. Like if you're going to run at a team, I think you have to be a goal scoring team. You have to be like, Clare are going to have to start, they're going to have to score goals early against Tip if they're going to be running at Tip. I think Noel McGrath will come out around the middle of the field, you know, picking up all that kind of ball, which will allow the two midfielders to drop another few yards, and then we'll have our centre-back drop another few yards. I think middle third will be very congested, and trying to break through all them tackles to be a running team is going to be extremely, I'm hoping, it's going to be extremely hard for Clare. I think we're very well organised this year, and you know, it's if we can implement our game plan quicker than them and get up ahead of steam, you know, hopefully it's not too awkward an afternoon for us.
Just your player, maybe, sorry, Sean, just to throw into the mix, and I know we kind of spoke about him briefly off air as well, as Sean Ryan. Like, would anybody see him? You know, I know Cal has been known.
That was my next thing,
From his underage year, certainly Cal was he wasn't averse, let's say, to picking, I don't mean an unusual player, but, you know, somebody that people weren't expecting to start. So I wonder, could Sean Ryan be that player this year for us?
I'd say that there's nearly as much talk about him this week as it's talking him into a start. He seems to be like the dark horse that everyone knows about.
Yeah, he's like a horse for Cheltenham or something that people have to give up, like, you know what I mean? So look, maybe
let's go a score.
I'm getting caught up in that, but I know, Sean, you think highly of him, don't you? You've said it before.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've seen Leicester in club games. I know it's, I suppose, club a different count, but he just had that swagger about him in front and his turn and circle. And just went to goals. There's no, I'll have a look and see what's on. No, it's not. I'm going towards the goals. That's it. That's what I want. Like, if we can go down and, like, a goal is going to win. You can hit the ball into the net in the first half of the trains here. Clear. Like, these could fall. But we need to do that. Like, but they done to us. You know, we have to give back to them.
Are we expecting a throwback here, lads? Kind of, you know, goals being important in the Munster Championship match, every score almost being important. And then we get the usual, are we building up like a Sean Flynn on the stats in the podcast? Like, you know, Tipper are going to create a lot of scoring chances. Are we better off just trying to outpoint Clare? Like, play the Limerick brand of hurling, for want of a better word.
I think first we have to. I think we have to have a high conversion rate. But know when the easy point rather than the hard goal opportunity is on. And I do think it's a great asset for Tipperary to have that we can score goals. And, you know, when some of the lads get a stiff inside the 50, it kind of gets the old arses off the seats and lads are a little bit anticipating an attack on the goal. I do think first, the old saying, take your points, your goals will come. I do think that's going to be very important this week because we have to be efficient. We have to remember we're coming from a very low ebb last year. We didn't win a game. We were hockeyed in every game. Like, leaving the Cork game, when we hit the butt of the post against Cork, the whole stadium knew what was going to happen after that. You know, the wind was out of our sails. The Cork supporters felt sorry for us leaving the stadium last year. So I think for us, we need to be efficient. Keep that scoreboard ticking over. And before you, hopefully, come half-time, we're hitting the 15-point mark. You know, then, you know, stand on our neck when the opportunity arrives, but I don't go forcing it. And I think look, if we win this game with points and no goals, I'd be delighted going out of there. But I think we will create goals. I just hope we don't overdo the efforts on goals.
So if you start, say, Ryan and Jake Morris, this thing allowed, like, that would target that Link Hall wants the ball to be hit in and then turn and go. Like, you know, it'll depend on what kind of corner four start is kind of what the game plan will be, is all I think.
And in fairness to Sean Ryan, it is, again, I know it is a challenge match down to the half, geez, I would have been killed. But his reception of the ball, like, it's like as if he plays with glue on his hand. I think he's going to be the heir apparent to Bonamar. I think every time a ball goes in, it's either going to stick or he's going to be the biggest nightmare in the world for a cornerback. And I reckon he's going to have a massive future under Liam Clannan for this team, Tip team, going forward. This year, might be off the bench if he's not starting, but if you're bringing him on, you know, at least you have a serious outlet to be hitting the ball into. You know, like, get that ball to him, he'll either gather possession, pass it off to someone else, or else, if it's a 50-50, you know he's going to be a nightmare. So, you know, like, they're great options. We have to be positive going down here. Have to be.
Yeah, and I think we need to be resilient as well. I think, you know, you've all identified the potential key weakness for Tip of being ran at, and the potential, obviously, to leak a couple of goals. But, you know, if we can avoid that or bounce back from conceding them, I think we have every chance for this game.
I think it'll probably end up being a shootout, Kevin, myself. You know, Tip games generally end up being quite high scoring. You know, Ennis maybe is not the it's not the kind of ground where you get big scores, but I just have a feeling if the weather is anyway decent, and you know, I think this could be quite a high scoring game. I don't think we have the backs. They have a lot of good attributes, our backs, but I don't think we have the backs to, you know, dog out an atrocious battle. I think this will be a high scoring game, and I'm just hoping that you know, the forwards that we've spoken about there can get enough ball in and do enough damage with the ball. Now, it could be wrong. It could end up being, you know, 11 points to 10 or something on Sunday evening, but I just have a feeling this is going to be a high scoring game.
And again, does turn into a bog, Colin. Looking at the weather there, like that, it looks like Sunday will hold all right and probably change after. So again, maybe it's the small little things kind of suit and tip there, maybe that we would be more comfortable in a high scoring game.
Yeah, look, and again, I mean, I'm not trying to be overly critical of our back line, but like, a blind man can see for the last few years that when teams have ran a tip, we've been in trouble. There's no point in saying anything else. And it was evident in the league a few times as well. I noticed that we seem to struggle a little bit on it. The goals thing, I suppose, look, we've spoken about the Limerick game. We never got a sniff of a goal. Now, we never went for the juggler either for goals. Once or twice, maybe another pass or another few yards with the ball, if they'd ran on, they might have opened up, but for whatever reason we didn't go for it. So I'm hoping that was, you know, a tactical thing that they're holding this back for Sunday. Essentially, as the lads have said, this is a knockout game, so you know, we have to go hell for leather at this. You know, there's no point in saying, I mean, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for any of us to come onto the podcast next week if we're beaten and be anything but very disappointed, you know. And you know, even though Stephen might be a glass half full man, I think even Stephen's going to struggle next week to come on and talk up a defeat, because like, I'm fucking sick of losing, lads, at this stage. I'm sorry now for being explicit, but I'm sick of losing. Like, I mean, we're Tipperary. I've said this before, we're not bloody Leash, or we're not flipping, you know, Dublin. Like, we don't lose games the way we're losing them. Like, I think we've lost our last six championship games in a row. This has to stop, and it has to stop now, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't care how we do it on Sunday, but we got to get it. It was Kieran Fitzgerald said about an Irish rugby team many years ago, we have to get our effing pride back in that jersey, and that has to start now on Sunday, as far as I'm concerned. We go down there, we show them no mercy. I don't give a sugar where the game is on. Go down there and win. We're back on here next week, and we're talking the team up, and we're talking the game up, and we're looking forward to the next game. And you can quote me on that.
No. Well, I didn't want to call this a must-win game, you know, just kind of thinking about how pro to pod, but like, yeah, essentially, I think we're reluctant to say how important the game this in, but like, yeah, it'll be a tough podcast next week if we don't.
Like, you don't want this, you don't want to lose, and then we're knocked back again. Like, we're kind of building. I think there's something is building. No, like, be clear, that was the aim when a draw was made. Win the first game, you know, and that's it. And then it had to be offered in the last game at home. Do it. Win two wins, and you know, you're getting out a monster, which last year we just miles off it in. Like, so we have to.
Yeah, I think Cal has been quite bullish as well, lads, in the build-up to it, because understandably he's been sort of questioned about, you know, last.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Year you won the league with Waterford, you know, you were flying, you went into championship, you blew up. You know, is there danger of that happening this year? And he's like, well, we haven't changed what we did last year. You know, as a management team, him and Bevans haven't changed their approach. They haven't changed anything that they've done differently. They're very confident in their way of doing things. And I like to hear that, actually. You know, so I think Cal is sort of saying, well, you know, it wasn't all on him last year. There was other factors there. And I think that's interesting to hear. And actually, if you think about it, our best game last year to me anyway, I know we were neck and neck sort of with Limerick for 60 minutes below in the Gaelic grounds, but actually the game that I thought we could have won last year actually was that first game against Waterford. You know, so
when we were playing the All-Ireland final select.
Yeah, you know, I thought that we you know, all that rubbish about whoever beat them was going up the steps or whatever, but I thought on that day that game was there for us that evening. Now, that's as much about how poor Waterford were, and we just didn't probably see it at the time. But I'm actually, I to go back to my original point, I'm actually glad to hear Cal say, you know, I'm not changing anything this year in the way me and Michael Bevans approach it. We're going at this because we trust in our system, we trust in our methods. And I'm hoping that that's an extra motivation for Cal and the team on Sunday.
Absolutely. Stephen, you're the closest, well, as we'll call you, on the border as well. Would you give our near neighbours Waterford any chance versus Limerick on Sunday? I definitely wouldn't.
No, absolutely not. Now, look, it's the first round everyone's going to be up for.
He brings the hype around them. Come on.
And that's it. It's going to be the first round. It's going to be hell for leather stuff. And they'll probably, well, no. They will. Davey will make a moral victory out of the defeat. And no, I wouldn't give him a hope against Limerick this weekend. I think Waterford appointed a celebrity manager and not the right manager.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Stephen. I can't find it in my heart anyway to ever tip them up. But you know, I couldn't see, like. Look, you have to go, you have, like, okay, you can discount the league to some extent, but you can't discount what Limerick have done over the last 4 or 5 years in league and championship. They have been the best team, and they have been, you know, they're a very, very good team and a very slick outfit, and, you know, they've huge competition for places. They're huge men, huge fitness. They run up big scores. You know, we've been down this road with them. It's very hard to see how Waterford have improved that much from the league or that much from the championship that they're going to be able to match him. I think they're missing Austin Gleeson as well, aren't they?
He's injured.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys missing for them as well. Now, I suppose, you know, if we were doing a Waterford podcast, you could come on next week if you're beaten by Limerick and you know, you could look for positives in it because, you know, Limerick are a different stage than Clare. So I'm sure, as Stephen said, Davy Fitz will turn this into a moral victory, or he'll turn it into somebody, if they're beaten, that it'll be somebody else's fault and not his anyway. But no, I couldn't see anything other than a Limerick win.
Darren Gleeson showing up in Antrim versus Dublin. Not maybe the outsiders that they would have been a few years, Mio O'Donoghue over Dublin. Leinster's definitely a much more slow burner of a championship. Would you give Antrim a chance there? Or
Antrim be closer than were in previous years. Like, no, they'll be confident with Dublin coming up, like as someone said the other day, on St. Lent's Championship is literally the Europa League of GAA hurling. Like, it's just, that's it. No.
Like, I was going to call it the Dwarves competition, but we got enough trouble for that. That's
like, true. You could see two hammers weekend. Galway could trounce Wexford and Limerick could trounce Waterford. And then Antrim Dublin. Like, if Dublin get a win there, they could think they could be the third team out then of Leinster. Like, it should expect to win in Antrim, but Antrim won't fall down. But
Kilkenny have a nice warm-up versus Westmead, and the only, I suppose, game that would be of half interest from our perspective would be Galway versus Wexford there, even though Galway Wexford similar could be, yeah, you haven't been impressed with Wexford.
No, just they haven't shown anything. They just look all over the shop. It's, I don't know what's, but it could surprise us. Like, Galway going in shit off air, it's like, you know, Limerick deserve going in shit off air against Waterford, but Galway going in kind of not doing much. It's just that what Wexford is so poor that Galway are fancied out of the gate. Like.
Yeah, Stephen, you saw Wexford a couple of weeks ago. Did they show anything against Tip in that challenge game?
No. I suppose the elephant in the room about the challenge game after the incident, they showed how close they were. Now that was, you know, they were a real close knit group, but there could be a couple of lads beside me watching the match, and Tip had the win in the first half, and you know, they were cantering along, and Wexford were trying to play their game, but it just wasn't, you know, and the wind was thrown in as a factor. And I remember one of the comments was, I know Wexford will execute their game plan way better than Tip will in the second half. Tip were against them in the second half. Tip blew him out of the water. Absolutely destroyed him in the second half. It was easy for him. And you'd fear for Wexford. Like, I know they were missing lads and they wouldn't have been out with the first 15, but neither were Tip. But you'd fear for him. because it's very hard to just switch it on for Championship. And
it's a worrying one, because you know Wexford were very bad for a long time until, you know, like Davy and his predecessor came, Liam, can't think of a second name, came along, and you know they took a long time to get competitive again, and it would be a massive shame for the Leinster Championship in particular if they started to fall back very rapidly.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, that's hurlers there. That's fantastic hurlers there. Like, let's be honest, bet that game management in 2019 should have saw him over the line, you know, but or maybe a better style of play, because they were wrecked with 20 minutes to go, like, as for an inter-county team in an All-Ireland semi-final. But it's just hard to pinpoint where the slump is. Like, you know, this has Davy just wore him out mentally? You know, we've heard the stories of the training sessions. You know, was it January doing 28 nights in a row and things like that? And
is it like, have you lost the love for kind of way? Not love, but kind of the drive to go again. I forget.
Yeah,
it's like a
mental sharpness. Like, you know, when you think you're giving it absolutely everything, and then, you know, you go a few points down, and you know that drive or even the confidence could be gone. The way you're thinking, like, when the confidence is up, if 5 minutes to spare, you feel like you'll score a winning goal. When the confidence is down, 5 minutes to go, you feel like you're going to concede that goal. Do you know? And I think that Wexford are on the wrong side of that.
And it's, do you think they'd be the third team out of Leinster still, like? Or I think so.
I think so. I think they will. I think they just have their look. The Dublin crowd will give out to me for this, but I just think they're more natural hurlers than Dublin.
I'll come down the home straight, to nick off a few points to beat them.
And where, just to go back to the Dublin and Antrim game, it's the first round, anything can happen. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Antrim snuck one there off Dublin, you know, and it could put big pressure on Dublin.
I think
Wexford will come out of Leinster.
Just listen to you there, lad. And I was thinking about this myself a little bit last week, watching a few games. I think that the Hurling Championship needs a good start, because like, we need a couple of good games in the Hurling Championship. Like, the football started, whether it was the New York Leitrim game and you know, going to penalties, there was a good bit of excitement in that. I think our friends in Mayo losing to Roscommon was, you know, that was quite an exciting game, quite a shock. There was a couple of good games up in the north last week. There was
a great game. Like,
great game, Sean. You know, football last
top moment, and if you have Leinster, he's getting hammered the weekend.
And if you have Limerick, let's say hammering Waterford, you know. Like, you know, I think the championship, the Hurling Championship needs a bit of a shot in the arm. Like, when I think back in the last few years, right, Clare and Limerick was a great Munster final last year. Maybe not, the quality wasn't the best in the world, in my humble opinion. It was very close. It was tight. It was, you know, it was exciting. It was compelling.
The awful day in Turles.
The All Ireland final, I enjoyed the All Ireland final last year. I thought it was a good game. You know, it was kind of a traditional ish sort of a game. Other than that, I'm struggling to think of too many really good games. Now, I'm so damaged by some of Tipperary's performances in the last 2 years that I've sort of wiped out a lot of it out of my memory bank. But, you know, I do think the Hurling Championship needs a good start now. We need a couple of good games on Sunday to get it going and get it promised.
I think it's like, you go back as far as 2018, I'm going to say, with Limerick's breakthrough semi-final win over Cork after extra time, I think it was, when it had the whole country talking.
Great game, yeah.
A day after Clare and Galway drew.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going, like, the whole country was talking about how great hurling was, and, like, you know, it seemed to reach its peak then. And then, like, since we've had, like, Tip and Wexford, probably a great game to watch. We were all too involved in it to kind of enjoy it, just want to get out in the... Like, bar that, you know, the COVID games was a write-off. Like, I can't even remember much. Many of them, like, you know, they just don't... The big one that does stick out is that Munster final, and that's a combination of the weather and the refereeing and all the rest of it, and the hope that Limerick could get caught. So I'd agree 100%. The Hurling Championship needs to start with a bang. Probably, like, you know what, ideally would be a Waterford win, or, like, from a... Hurling, I suppose, publicity-wise, would be that Waterford win over Limerick, but that seems just as far away from ever. So maybe you know, a cracker for Tip Clare, I'm thinking, it's on GAA Go anyway. So the good people of Ireland will be watching Galway and Roscommon in a 6 points to 5 classic, but there you go. Yeah,
basically, the bottom line is Hurling needs Tipperary to save it again.
Yeah.
I'll leave it there.
Stop the five in a row. Lads.
Our under-20s playing a must-win game tomorrow, Friday, versus Limerick. Our minor All-Ireland champions from last year have exited. Partly, by all accounts, what was their best performance last night, but came up short against Limerick again. Underage structure, probably debate is for another day, but probably is shaping up to be a little bit of a disappointment in terms of our underage performance.
Definitely, Kevin. Yeah, look, I think Cork beating Clare last night was a good result for us, because if we win our last two games in the under-20, we qualify, and as far as I can see. So that's a bit of a glimmer of hope. The minors, it's disappointing. I've said myself before, I'm not a huge fan of under-17 hurling. It's grand for what it is, but it's not what I remember as the minor hurling championship. Like, you know, so I kind of take those results with a bit of a pinch of salt. If you can, you know, it's about development as much as it is about results. Having said that, I was still disappointed in, you know, to lose the other night. Again, we lose a close game by a point, but by all accounts, you know, they played an awful lot better. So hopefully the under-20s now can pull it back a little bit. I saw a tape, I think he saw it as well, just, you know, only Waterford are behind us, I think, in the last 5 years of underage games in the Munster Championship. You know, so that means Cork, Clare and Limerick are ahead of us, you know, in games won. That is a bit of a worry. You know, eventually that just catches up with you lads. If you're not producing winning teams underage, it is going to catch you. Like, it caught, like in the 60s, if you go back, you know, we could never see a day in Tipperary where we wouldn't be winning the All-Ireland every couple of years, and we weren't doing it at underage, and it caught us in the 70s. Like, you know, and it was, if you think of it, in the breakthrough in the 80s, that was down to under-21 teams and minor teams winning from, you know, 79 to 83 or 84. So there is a correlation between underage success and senior success.
You know, like, again, I had mentioned Limerick as much, but, you know, their minor teams probably around 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. And we beat their minor team in 2016, I think, didn't we? Didn't we, Kevin?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Yeah, we did, you know. But look, the point stands. You know, we can't, you know, I don't want to be too harsh, we can't keep losing minor and under-20 games either, because this is going to catch up with us.
The under 17 grade, kind of said before that, it just, we're not seem to be getting into it right again. We're throwing the net wide in terms of getting players in, but like, I don't know where we had the best 15, 30 players on under 17 the county on it. Like, players mature some month between 16 to 18. It's unbelievable. Like, see the clubs, lads. Like, club teams turn around between, where are we now? 15 to 17, 19. It's unreal. So, like, I wouldn't judge that, lads online and Premier View Forum, they are kind of not slating lads, but kind of saying things about young lads. It's only 16, let them 17. Like, absolutely, give them a chance. Like, there's no need. Like, there is development going on, tip from under 13, 15 up, and they're the part for then. Like, if we can get four or five players out of each of them groups going along, that's kind of what
we're really coming off an All Tipperary Hearty Cup final as well. So, it's definitely not all doom and gloom.
No, it's not. But, you know, I'll still stand by my point that I'd rather be winning these games than losing games. You know, and I take Sean's point. It is about development. And I said that right at the beginning. It's definitely about development. And, you know, I did see guys on Premier View talking about, you know, I don't know who they're talking about, but certain lads from certain clubs not on the team. But I will say one thing about Woodlock and his selectors. They picked lads from all over the counties. They picked lads from unfashionable clubs. You know, they obviously gave everybody a chance. It wasn't as if it was, you know, lads would be saying something else if there was players only from two or three clubs on. They'd be saying, well, what about so-and-so from some whatever club, you know? So I think that can't be leveled at the management. I don't know if the best team was there. I'm not going to claim to know that. I don't know if they're the best team out there in the couple of games. But yeah, it is about development, as Sean says. But I prefer to be winning these games than losing these games.
Absolutely. Before we leave it, let's how to approach this one. Big news from Tipperary, I suppose, early in the week was Fergal Horgan stepping off the referees panel and giving up all refereeing. He's definitely going out with a bang on News Talk just there with an interview, airing a few grievances. So look, he's a massive loss, I think, to the refereeing fraternity. When Tip weren't going well, it was great to see him there reffing finals. His style might have been not to everyone's kind of liking, I suppose, his interpretation of letting it flow. But anyone thoughts on that?
Kind of,
Go ahead, Sean.
he laid out a new talk, Steve, and he just said as was, you know, he just said, best refs weren't getting the best games, refs were overlooked. Why were certain refs doing this? But then he kind of backtracked a bit on it. But like, I don't know, like, we know it's like GA, kind of, it's like GA at all levels. It's kind of not favors, but who you know and who's in charge and who's on the boards and stuff. It's the way it is. And boys just talking, oh, well, no, maybe just might be kind of looked a bit more. People might kind of look and go, geez, that ref, why isn't he getting them games wrong? Why is he getting that? You know, so, but then is there, they have to put a system in place. They have to, as you said off air, Kevin, we're saying, you're guaranteed one All Ireland every 5 or 10 years. That's it. You do your All Ireland, you're done. Like, you know, but you have to think of something.
It's a strange one. I like him. Especially after playing in games with him, reffing a few times. He's a way of, you know, the times you get frustrated, he doesn't overreact when you get frustrated because he understands it a bit, and he's a way of then talking to you that you kind of you're grand, you know, because look, I suppose he treats you as a. I think he treats an adult properly. Like it's a hot blooded game we're playing, you know, so the temper is to be frayed at times. And I think he's a good way of reffing. I really enjoy it. But I think this whole saga has been strange because whatever his reasons are for retiring from inter-county refereeing, to add that to add the club game to that as well is a bit strange. If you've fallen out with the Croke Park refereeing boards or whatever, that should stay with Croke Park. We're losing out on a referee now in Tipperary because of it. And I don't know. It from the outside, I don't know what's going on. It looks like he lost his passion for refereeing, and the lack of games in the National League was the straw that broke the camel's back for us. Because, you know, if when Brendan Maher retired from inter-county scene, he didn't retire from the club. You know, it's something similar. I just think it's a bit strange. And you can go out all guns blazing and say this and that happened at inter-county level. Why are you retiring from the club level then as well on top of that? You know, that's a question I'd like to ask him.
There seems to be, a big degree of disenchantment from him, whatever's after happening. I mean, Steve mentioned Brendan Maher there. I think there's been more kerfuffle and media interest and more interviews and things in exclusives to the Nationalist and things about Fergal Horgan retiring than there was about Brendan Maher retiring or Pádraic Maher retiring or any of the greats, you know. That's what I find it a bit strange. Like, for me, the best referees are the ones that we don't hear or see all that much, you know, because they're just getting out and doing their job. I think it's a bit, I don't want to say classless now, but it's a bit over the top, some of this reaction on News Talk tonight on the front of the Nationalist yesterday. I don't know, it's a bit, as Stephen said, it is a little bit strange. But, you know, I think the broader point stands, the inter-county game will be poorer for not having a ref like Fergal involved. And I think the club scene, which is more important to us at many levels, will also be a lot poorer because we're in an age as well where we're struggling to get referees and we're struggling to get people. You know, we know ourselves in the South, particularly, like, our frustration with the lack of games at times is because there's so few referees to do the game. So I don't think we can afford to be losing any refs at all. So, you know, the best of luck to Fergal. I know he's very involved in his own club. Best of luck to him, whatever he does going forward.
Absolutely. And look, if he wants to come on the podcast as well, we'd love to have him. I think Mike interviewed him before, so
we might just mention before we go off air two things, Kev, if you don't mind. You might ask us for our predictions for Sunday. I know we'd like to do that, certainly.
I
want to see Sean and Stephen on the spot here. And maybe I could just mention our we were talking about our underage teams earlier on, just to give a shout out to our minor footballers who beat Waterford tonight 3-18 to 1-3, and, you know, beat Limerick as well last week. So you know, fair play to John Mack, Commonwealth Commercials man, Kevin. You know him well. I went to school with John. I know him very well. So fair play to him for
absolutely
for doing well with that team.
Right, but Colin, you go first. Prediction.
There's no point in asking me, Kevin.
I want to score.
My heart. My heart says tip. My head is going to say a draw.
Ah, Jesus. One person on the fence.
Yeah,
right. Tip to win by 4. We'll go something like 3-26, 2-25.
Man, Shawnee.
Stephen. Yeah.
I had a similar scoreline in mind. I don't think Clare scored two goals, so I give them the 1.26 to about 3.25 for a tip. I'm going to give you two predictions now. Obviously, the one was the tip win. And I'm also going to tell you now, if tip win this weekend, they go down and beat Cork.
Oh,
I'm Stevie's right. Yeah. I'll go tip by eight. That's, I just think, on league form, which isn't worth it, I don't think Clare are going great. So, look, hopefully, as we're all right anyway, you know.
Don't let Derek Lynch put this podcast into the game.
It was a long fecking May last year, I tell you. I was watching the Hurling Championship go on. And we not part of it, like, until, you know, like we were.
And hopefully, there. Then the game is the right game as well. So, like, it's not on RT. So, at least then you're shocked football. It's on at 4 o'clock. So, everyone will be like, why wasn't that tip counter with Clare on telly? And then people like, that's cat. And then go mental online.
Exactly.
The reaction to some of that, though, Sean, has been funny, hasn't it? I mean, there seems to be a kind of a feeling among tip supporters that every tip game absolutely has to be on the television, and how dare people not put it on? I think somebody was saying today that there's guys on some Facebook page talking about they're not going to enter the county board draw anymore, and they're going to burn their tip jerseys at dawn or something. I mean, I like, what kind of idiots are these people? Like, you know, I mean, who, like,
it is going to happen more and more before you leave that, because you have the more condensed county season. It was probably, you know, like when you had one or two games on a, you know, on a Sunday, and maybe
in a football weekend, a hurling weekend, like, it was split.
It meandered along, like, you know, for 2 or 3 months, but now we're back. Like,
we've lost Sky as well, Kevin. Like, you know. Like the guys who are probably burning the county board draw tickets are the guys who wanted Sky gone as well. Like, you know, there's very little critical thought in any of this. Like, you know, the more options you have on the TV, as far as I'm concerned, the more channels that are showing the games, the better. Like, do you know what I mean? I was never one of these people who thought that being in bed with Sky was a bad thing. I actually quite enjoyed the Sky coverage. I didn't see much of it because, you know, I'd be at the tip games. But any of the games I saw the tip weren't involved with that Sky did, I thought Sky were very good, and I had no problem with, you know, I have a subscription with them anyway. Like, I had no problem with Sky if they were prepared to stump up the money. And we've said on this podcast for many years that the quality of GAA products on RTE, particularly when it comes to hurling, is an absolute disgrace. You know, it's awful. It's poorly produced. It's poorly presented. It's poorly analysed. It's desperate, you know, really desperate.
That's my rant. The week after Limerick and Clare is on GA Go, like, and then the week after Tip Cork is on GA Go, and the week after Waterford Clare is on GA Go. So, like, the people going to turn on a telly watching these Waterford games and Limerick games going, why aren't they on? But they're clashing with Mount games. Like, do you think there's seven games in GA Go on Saturday alone? Like, that tells you the volume of.
Yeah, and like, if the football really gets going when they have their round robin, I think, which starts in, you know, close enough to early May. So, like, they'll be. You know, that'll be another kind of competition for, like, the traditional slot. So, look, I am, you know, I hear what you're saying, all that. I think the GA, I know it's an amateur game still, but I think the GA is probably missing a trick not going for a Friday night slot. I think, you know, great potential there. You know, opens up a bit of the weekend to get a game on telly there. But I think that's a conversation for another day, lads.
Or just put GA Go on Sky is channel number 800, just like the old Stanton model when they came out, and that was it. At least everyone get it then. Like, and how the publicans now that are trying to have 4 or 5 TVs in the pub, and they're like, how am I going to do this? They're ringing Diego, no answer, they're emailing them, there's no answer. It's just a bit basking a week out.
It'll hit the fan when you start getting the calls at 10 to 4 on Sunday saying, what channel is the tip game on?
Yeah.
I guess it's like,
I'm watching football here.
Yeah.
I'm not football. This can't be right.
That's when, and it'll be twice as bad when tip play Cork, and you have the ire of two kind of counties kind of going at it as well, that they've been relegated to the streaming service. But anyway, lads, sure luck. Let's just see what Sunday brings.
Good luck. Thanks, lads.
Good luck, man.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.